Oh, let's give him a shout of praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just and true. And we have come to worship him in spirit and in truth tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember Pastor and Sister Baggett in your prayers. They are taking a few days, and you need that sometimes. And I'm glad that they are able to do that. And I want to go to the Word of the Lord with you tonight. Won't be very, very long. Don't plan on ever being very, very long, ever. But let's look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." After these things, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Great reward. Dear Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for that gift, the Holy Ghost, that you have sent to comfort us. Lord, we ask that you reach down and you touch each and every one of us. We ask, God, that you touch the families that are represented here tonight. Lord, we give you praise tonight. We thank you, Lord, that after this, after the stuff we've been through, after the trials and the failures that we've been to, you're going to be our shield and our exceeding great reward. Lord, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So good to see our guest here in the back tonight. Glad y'all are here with us. We are honored to have each and every one of you with us here tonight. After these things, you know, when you've gone through stuff and you've been to battle or through a trial or through a situation, you learn some stuff and you hopefully remember some stuff. There are obviously much wiser and a little bit older than I am people here tonight. And you have scars and memories and lessons, life lessons that you have learned that, to be quite honest, I want to learn from. I don't want to make the same mistakes you have made. No one wants their children to follow and fall where they fell. They want their children to be better, right? Amen. So after these things, and I'm thankful for every one of you here tonight and the presence and the power of God that you allow to flow and work through you. When you fall, what do you have to do? You have to get up. And that is the very beginning. If you look in the Gulf of Mexico, and I'm sure several of you have either worked on or have been around maybe fishing, there are great big oil drilling rigs out there or platforms. Has anybody ever seen those? Maybe in port or you've worked on them or around them, some of you all your life, yeah. And they rise out of the water, and they're pretty amazing how these platforms are designed. They are man-made islands. They house men. They have big kitchens. They have all kinds of, you are working on top of the water on this island. And it's large enough to house you and to feed you and to take care of you. And there's machinery and there's all the equipment that's necessary to drill for oil on these big islands of steel. And under the most difficult conditions, they will put them out in the middle of the Gulf, and the drilling rigs are often pounded and lashed at by storms and waves. And I've gone out and fished around a lot of them before on the Texas side, and it's just amazing how big they are and how the waves will hit them, and your boat might be rocking back and forth, and they're just there. And they are protected, and they hold on despite the storm, despite the tides, despite the raging winds that blow and hit it. And the Christian life can be compared to this platform. We are hit by life storms. We are attacked by the forces of Satan. Often there is strain and turmoil and strife going on, and we deal with problems sometimes daily. Sometimes, if you're a parent, by the hour. Sometimes you're dealing with stuff quicker than you want to have to deal with stuff, but you are, and you stand secure, not because of your ability or strength of character, but because you are anchored to the bedrock of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know, on these platforms, they usually have three legs going down, and those legs, they lift up, and they can actually float that thing out, and they will drop those legs down, and those legs will go down hundreds of feet through the water and get down in the mud and go down in the mud, and they will hook onto the bedrock. They'll hook onto that sure foundation so they're able to withstand. And that's exactly what you and I have to do as Christians. What anchors are there for us to anchor into in Jesus? There are a few great spiritual anchors and pylons that we can count on. Number one, God's calling. God's calling. For you to be here tonight, you heard the voice of God somewhere. It compelled you to come tonight. You're not out watching the playoffs. You're not out partying. You're not out hanging out with your friends. You're here because you want to be here. Nobody made you come. Sister Petrie didn't twist your arm. Well, maybe she did. I don't know. No, not tonight. You made a choice. God's calling. So that's a pillar. That's a foundation that you can hold on. God has called you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He might be dealing with you and working with you. And there, on all of us, there are things that we are dealing with and working with every day, every year, every month. But He has called you. There is hope. You can still feel His presence. You can still feel that tug. That's a good thing. Number two, God's faithfulness. God is faithful. When you or I don't even deserve it, He is still faithful. You know, it's been amazing dealing with hundreds of people. My whole life has been around or in ministry. And after seeing people all over the world deal with problems and issues and stories and stuff, the number one amazing thing I find is that God has never turned around and walked out on any one of those people. Not one of them. They might turn out and walk away from God, but God is still there, standing with arms wide open. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. I'm here to tell you, He is faithful. He will be there for you when you get up and you brush yourself off and say, God, here I am. I love You. I need You. I want You. Help me. He is faithful. God is faithful. That's the second pillar. The third is God's power. He is all power. He has all power in His hands. He said He would send us the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, that we would have power. You know, if you're living in the flesh, working in the flesh, making decisions in the flesh and not the Spirit, your plane is going to crash at some point. But when you get in the Spirit and the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and you will begin to allow God to work on your behalf in your situation, you can step back. Now, you still have to do what you have to do. God gives us common sense. Hopefully you use that common sense. But He'll give you wisdom and power, and He will comfort you through that situation. He won't pull you out of every storm, but He will see you through every single storm. God's call does not depend upon human merit. It doesn't matter how good you've been, how bad you've been. It doesn't matter where you're from. His call doesn't depend on merit. God is faithful even when you and I are faithful. Amen. And God's power stands behind His call and His promises. He is all powerful. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward." In these words, God is teaching Abraham that he had power to do what he has promised. Has anybody ever lived through something you know that God has power to see you through? Amen. I want to see your hands. Yeah, just about everybody. If you've lived long enough, you know. You know. When there seems no way, if you'll just give it to Jesus, He'll see you through. Now, that doesn't mean it might always come out how we think it should, or in the order of the process that we think it should. I had a problem with that growing up. It's like, God, I want healing now for this person. I want blessing now for this. And it's like, wait a minute. It's not for you to decide. It's for me. He has power, all power, and He is able to do what He has promised. God will be your shield. Look at your neighbor and say, God is your shield. God is your shield. Man, I like this Tuesday night down here. This is great. Hallelujah. If you don't understand what I'm referring to, I'd like to invite you to come join us on a Tuesday night upstairs. And then this is great. Are you awake? Okay, good. I'm usually having to tell the kids, settle down. Why are you so wired up? Hallelujah. God will be your shield, just like He was Abraham's shield. In order to understand what God was saying to Abraham in the scripture after these things, it's necessary to look back over the preceding chapter, for the verse is directly related to what has gone on before the here and now. It's referring to something He's already been through. In Genesis 15 and 1, it says it, after these things, that the word of the Lord came unto Abram after these things. What things? As I read this, I begin to look over it, and what is in the 14th chapter? First, there is the story of Abraham's rescue of his nephew, Lot, from the kings who had defeated Sodom and ransacked the city and the cities allied with it. And then sometime before this chapter, Lot and Abraham had separated, and Lot had gone to live in Sodom. And Sodom was not the place of God's blessings. It was a very wicked city. It was a very wicked place. And so Lot and his families, they had problems there. They had issues there. Anytime you move out of the presence of God, you're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. I encourage every one of my Bible study students that I'm with, and ironically not one of them is here tonight, but I encourage them, you need to be in the house of God when the house of God is open. It's a recharging. It's a place that you can be refilled. It's a place that you can feel the faith and the pick-me-up from your neighbors, if you will. It encouraged me to see you here. It encourages you to see me here. I hope so anyway. But it's we're faith building. We're all human. We're all flesh. We all deal with stuff. You know, I don't let stuff bug me. I wasn't going to tell them, but you know, when I saw my good friends at Hackett's the other day eating, and coolies, and I wasn't offended that they were eating at Hackett's. And if you don't know what Hackett's is, it's in Lake Charles, a little Cajun joint. A lunch special will be there before 2 o'clock because they'll be sold. They're open at up to 3, but if you're there after 2, you ain't probably going to eat. But it's right down the street from where my wife works, and I go pick them up lunch there, and it's really good food. So I walk in the door, and I'm picking up my lunch for my wife. Brother Chris, how are you? I'm doing good. How'd you find this place? Through a friend. What I really want to say, Sister Cooley, was, why didn't you tell me about this place? Why have you been hiding it? But God will be your shield, and no matter what you go through, and if you'll stay in the presence of God and you're in right relationship, you know, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to see people out and enjoy life, but you've got to stay in the presence of God. You've got to keep the main thing, and keep God, the King of Glory, at the front. Amen? Amen. So here Lot is, and he has his family in Sodom, and there's problems that are going to happen when you move your family out of the presence of God. And a time came when these four kings, they come from a distant land, and they begin raiding on the eastern edge of Canaan, and eventually they came to make war on Sodom and the nearby cities. And Sodom's king and his allies were defeated, and Sodom was overtaken by these kings and their men and overrun, and Lot and his family, they were captured and all of his possessions. And news of the battle comes to Abram, and when he heard that Lot had been captured, he sets out to rescue his family. A family member gets in trouble, you want to do something about it, right? You want to help them out. And the Bible says in Genesis 14:14, "And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants and pursued them into Dan, and he divided his men against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them into Hobah. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people." At this point, Abraham was in great danger. He was in he had risked his neck, if you will. And here were powerful kings who had destroyed large areas of land and who had carried off the spoils of war from many cities. And they had probably spared Abraham and his little group only because he was so insignificant and so far away to begin with. And now this nobody has come back and has attacked them. And not only attack them, but he has, with a smaller force, but he has won and recovered from them all of the spoils of war and the riches that they have taken. And they must have been very mad and frustrated. And Abraham must have been wondering about the consequences of his heroic act and what he had done just to rescue his nephew. But while he's wondering what's going to happen, God comes to him with a promise of protection. Exactly the promise he needed. After all of this, I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be an exceeding reward. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that excites me that God would come and say, I'm going to be your shield, but not only your shield, buddy, I'm going to be your exceeding reward. Hallelujah. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen? Amen, amen. And while he's wondering and God is coming to him and he gets his promise, God says, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." With such a shield, you and I have nothing to worry about. Can I tell you tonight, if you'll just get up and start on the journey towards Jesus Christ, he will be your shield. He will be your exceeding reward. He will go before you and open up the doors that need to be opened and close the doors that need to be closed. If you'll just get on track with Jesus Christ, but you got to get up and do something about it. Abraham was shielded by God. Abraham